6. We are eking. The long, long morning passed slowly, dragging its weary feet. The two children fitfully slept whilst the ship ploughed her punishing way through the storm. In common with nearly all the pilgrims, the children were seasick. The awful nausea continued by the hour. The longed-for relief seemed to get further away than ever. Would it never come? Will it never come? Eventually, Justice sat up. He pulled his knees up to his chest and hunched himself together with his arms clasped about his legs. After a while, he pressed his aching head back against the side of the ship and stretched his arms and hands upwards and backwards. He was startled to find he could feel water trickling down the side of the vessel. He turned his head, knitting his brow. He madly scraped his fingers along the boards, and though he could not clearly see, he could just pick out the place where the sea water was breaching the boards. "We're leaking, Father," he gasped, shaking his father's arm. "We're leaking. Father, feel this." Justice grabbed his father's hand and drew it to the place where he had found the water. "The ship is leaking." Mr. Lovelace hastily traced his fingers along the crack that Justice had found. He peered into the gloom. "Fetch me a lantern," he said quickly and quietly. "Make haste." He spent a few silent moments carefully examining the boards. "You're right, my son," he exclaimed with a faint whistle, as he held the flickering light close. "You're right. The boards are being pulled apart by the force of the wind and the sea." He stopped. His fingers came to his chin and gently caressed it. "I overheard some such talk on the quay. Some gossiping old sailors were talking, I remember. They said they thought this vessel would leak because she carried too much sail for her size. I didn't believe it at the time. Well, I see it's true." He looked around at his wife. "Something must be done about it." "Something must be done," he said through his teeth. "Are you sure, my dear?" said Mrs. Lovelace. She placed her hand upon her husband's. "Are you sure? Surely they wouldn't put us out to sea in such a state?" "No." She shook her head. "'Tis only wild talk you have heard. Surely it will be all right." But her voice gave away her lack of confidence. "No, my dear, I fear not." There was no smile upon his face as he spoke. "No, something must be done." His mind was made up. He quickly undid the knots, wrestling with the cord about his waist. "Oh, my cold, wet fingers," he said, as the rope slipped in his grasp. But soon, with his pulling and tugging, the knot yielded. He slid himself along to the next man, pulling himself along by means of the many boxes stacked around. He bent his head towards the man. Justice barely heard their murmured conversation mingled with the many other voices of the hold. He saw the man put his hand up along the side of the vessel. The man turned to face Mr. Lovelace. Justice discerned the alarm in his eyes by the light of the lantern, feeble though it was. He caught his gasp and managed to get hold of his words. "You're right, Matthew. She is leaking." Their heads bent together, and Justice lost the remaining words of the conversation. After a moment or two, Mr. Lovelace crawled back to his place once again and tied himself in. "We shall have to wait until the storm dies down," said he, anticipating the question that his wife needed not to ask. "As soon as we can, we should get a small number of us together to go and face the master of the vessel. It's no use going on with the ship in this dreadful state. We cannot try to cross the Atlantic Ocean in such an unseaworthy vessel as this. It would be the height of madness. Let's hope the storm soon blows itself out. I don't fancy many more hours of this with only leaking boards to protect us. His voice had fallen to a mere whisper. He beckoned his family close. Listen, he confided. Please do not sound an alarm. There's nothing we can do at this height of the storm. Do not alarm the rest. Wait patiently. We shall have the matter put right at the first opportunity.